Don't let the weather limit your passion for golf. Go to Winslow's Kitchen Bar and Range, state-of-the-art Top Tracer driving range with shot tracing technology and PowerTee ball automation. Whether you're a golf enthusiast or a weekend warrior, you'll love Winslow's 16 heated bays with full-service food and drink, trivia nights, and live music in the clubhouse. Winslow's open 7 days a week, rain, snow, or shine, at Green Harbor Golf Club, 624 Webster Street in Marshfield. Book your bay at greenharborgolfclub.com/Winslow's. Winslow's, because good times and golf shouldn't have an off season.
B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Well, it's up to Jackie Bradley. Ripped a double his last time up. He's 1-for-4. 1-2, and a ground ball to second. Gordon's got it. And that does it. So the Red Sox rally falls short. 10-8 the final score, and the Red Sox leave Seattle 1-3 on their way to Oakland.
All right, nice baseball team you got there, Maz.
Tried to warn you, people. I tried to warn you. You wouldn't listen.
It's a Monday on Felger and Maz, re-entry Monday, everything on the board, but we're starting Red Sox, Anthony Maserati, James Murray beside me in our Town Fair Tire Studios. Yes, Maz, your baseball team, you were saying?
I tried to warn you people. I said they're going to get off to a slow start, so prepare yourselves right now. I saw it coming. Just all the, you know, again, I'm not telling you I'm Mastrodamus. I'm just telling you that when you look at the whole thing, they won the World Series. Their pitchers they brought along slowly. They're on the West Coast to start the year. All of that and the fallout from a 108 win season plus the 11 in the playoffs of 119. Okay, and I always say 119 because it's a more impressive number. You add all of that up, this was coming. This was coming.
Okay, so
they
what's
got
this?
Their asses
what's
kicked.
What's this?
Losing to start. I couldn't have predicted the rotation would be as bad as it was. So I'm not telling you the how. I didn't know the how. I just know that they were going to lose. That's all I knew. I knew that one way or another here at the start of the year, they would lose.
You're like the Paul Revere of suck, just going through the streets on your horse. They're going to suck. They're going to suck. Two arms. They're going to suck.
Something like that, Murray, yes. Except that I'm not telling you that they're sucking for the year. I'm just telling you that because they're not going to suck. They're too good. They get too much talent. But the start I knew would happen. I knew. I just knew. I felt it in my bones, for crying out loud, that they would come out of the gate and they wouldn't play well. And they should be 0-4. Red Sox fans, I have news for you. Today, you should consider yourselves lucky. You are lucky you're 1-3.
I would agree with that. If it wasn't for the lineup, they would be.
Absolutely. They should have lost the second game of the series. And so, you know, to me, and the Mariners tried to give them another one the next night. So I just look at it. To me, this was predictable. They weren't going to come out of the gate great. I think in the long run, this particular series could actually help them. And there are a lot of little things worth talking about from that series over the weekend, some littler than others.
Okay, where do you start? What, beyond just the slow start, hangover, whatever that you sort of foresaw, is there something that's real that you sink your teeth into?
So what I think is real, I mean, I told you this in the email exchange. I find it interesting that Eduardo Rodriguez goes out there in the third game of the year. They're 1-1 going into the third game of the year. Eduardo Rodriguez goes out there and stinks. And it felt to me like they blamed the catcher. That's what it felt like to me. So one of the things that I wanted to keep an eye on was what happened when Swihart got behind the plate. Okay, did the pitchers grumble? Did the manager and the coaches grumble? Because my sense on it is that Alex Cora wanted Sandy Leon on that roster to start the year because they value Leon's leadership behind the plate. Now, as it is, Leon stayed in the organization. But Swihart's with the big league club. Leon is not. Then the third game of the year, Swihart's first start, Eduardo Rodriguez goes out there and gets smacked around, and you have the manager and the pitching coach basically saying they didn't follow the game plan. I mean, who are they throwing under the bus there? To me, that was them calling out the catcher. And I don't know if that was or maybe I should rephrase. I don't know if that was a subtle or direct message to Dombrowski of, well, you wanted this guy here. Here we go. So we're letting you know right now, we went in with a different plan. He gave up a three-run home run to Jay Bruce. And so now we're going to lay it at the hands of the catcher and of the GM. We're telling you right now, because that didn't take long.
It sure didn't.
Third game of the year, first start. First start, Swihart. They didn't follow the game plan. Why not? I don't know. Right? The pitching coach says, Dana Lavandi says, I don't know. What, like, since when are you telling us that info? Since when are you telling us what the game plan is?
And Eck even mentioned it on the broadcast the next day, which we'll play for you in a second. So that's a little something. Drew and I look at Maz, and I told you this. This is something that I was looking forward to. And by the way, the phones are open. It's a reentry Monday. We're going to talk about everything from over the weekend, but we're going to start talking about Red Sox. You can talk about whatever you want at 617-779-0985. I wanted to see Cora if the Heat just turned up a little bit. Because the Heat never really turned up on this team until maybe halfway through that Yankee series in the postseason. Other than that, you know, we never really saw him, have to respond. And I've always, you know, just what I came to learn from him was that he listened to it, he hears it, he responds to it, he's got rabbit ears, he can't help himself but engage, he likes to engage, he wants to engage. And I wonder how that's all going to play out, and I'm not even telling you that it's a bad thing. It might be a good thing. I just, as a neutral bystander, want to see it.
No, this was apparent over the weekend, too.
And boy, did it not take any time whatsoever for me to hear from Alex Cora. Alex Cora said, bruh. You know, and so the question, it's natural. The starting pitching gets poleaxed, and they had really held back the starting pitching in spring. So it's like it was almost baked in the way they were going to start on the mound because they didn't work these guys in the spring, and they're all trying to manage them for October and blah, blah, blah. Like, we all knew this. But so they go out in the first series and get throttled. And immediately Cora's like, who's ever doubting us? Check what happened last year. It's like, boy, that didn't take long. Like, it wasn't even, well, here's a cut. Just play one.
It's easy to second guess now, you know, what we did. Nobody second guesses last year. It's a program. You have to be disciplined. So that's the way I see it, you know. If people think that, you know, they didn't start too many games or they have too many innings, they should get back to what we did last year in spring training. We play until October 28th. And the previous year when I got here, everybody was talking about how they were out of bullets in October against the Houston Astros.
Okay. Blah. Who's ever doubting us? We did the same thing last year. How'd that work out? Whoever is doubting us, check what happened last year. Is anyone doubting them yet?
He had that ready to go, didn't he?
Oh my God. That was quick. Like, okay, good. Good. Excellent. Let's go. 158 to go. Tremendous. And I'm not telling you he's got the wrong approach. He might have the right approach. He's got the ass. He's really confident. He's cocky. He is cocky.
Absolutely, he is. No question about it.
And again, I think he's a little defensive, and he's a little cocky, and that's great. It really worked last year, and maybe it'll work this year. It also has, you know, in this town, it could also go in the other direction, and I just find it fascinating. Boy, first series, and they almost split the damn thing. It was only a 3-1, you know, series loss. It's easy to second guess what we did last year, but no one second guessed us last year. What's number two, Jimmy?
I didn't really think about last year. It's what happened. It was the same plan. You know, whoever is doubting us what we did last year, I mean, this year, check what happened last year. We did the same thing.
That's okay. That didn't take long, buddy.
No, right out of the gate. And I'll tell you what, I'm not sure I even believe it. I understand the logic. I don't think in and of itself it was the quote-unquote pitching program, if that's where you want to go. But I do think that it's different. They hadn't won the World Series the year before. They didn't play the whole month of October the year before, et cetera, et cetera. And his back was up. His back was up after the game. There's no question about it because I know there's more.
And we'll play throughout the course of the day. So just your initial thoughts on the Red Sox over the opening weekend. 617-779-0985. Any real cause for concern? And just your thoughts. Meanwhile, Xander Bogaerts comes to term on a contract extension. How do you feel about it, Andrew?
I was surprised by this. I did not see this coming. I thought that Bogaerts was going to play the year, and then they would talk to him after the season because I just Scott Boras' history with these kinds of players and the sheer numbers game that the Red Sox have to deal with in terms of contracts and all these guys they want to sign, starting with Sale and then Mookie and then Bogaerts, J.D. Martinez. Porcello, we just all assume, is gone. He's on the list, too. So I just thought they're going to wait. Bogaerts is the odd man out. They're going to try to keep JD. They're going to try to keep Betts. So I'm pleasantly surprised. The deal is better than I thought. I thought Bogaerts was going to shoot for like $25 million. They came in at $20 million. Okay, now the deal doesn't start till next year. I still think the 20 is a little high, but all things being considered, and when I say high for the kind of player that he is, to me, he's a, call it $17, $18 million player. Okay, he's somewhere in that area in the modern market. That's what he is. But they came in at 20. It's 6 years. It's not 8 or 10. So he'll, you know, they're going to get basically the prime years of his career out of it. I'm pleasantly surprised. That said, it now does make me wonder if it's JD or Betts, which one's gone.
Okay. All right, let's just stick with Bogaerts though for a second.
Okay.
Is this a bad contract?
No.
It's a good contract.
It is a good, it's better than I thought it was going to be. Yep.
I think it's a good contract. And I just, you know how I gauge that? Is because when I first heard it, I didn't go, what the f-? You know, usually, right. Usually when you hear one of these contracts, you go, you spit out your coffee whether you're drinking it or not. You're like, he got what? And, you know, when I heard the number, I'm like, oh, only 20 million bucks a year? And, you know, maybe that's just because I'm still sort of in this other era where the position ain't what it used to be. You know, the whole glamour era of Nomar, Jeter, A-Rod, Tejada, like that sort of thing, that's over. And it's really not that position anymore. But only 20 million bucks a year? I'm like, okay. And it's just 6 extra years? He's what? Would you just say?
26, 25.
So what? You'll get him into his early 30s.
It's, yeah.
Like, that's all fine. The only thing that I looked at it, you know, he is the highest paid shortstop now in Major League Baseball by far. You know, so this is how far the position has fallen. Highest paid shortstop average annual value right now is Elvis Andrus.
15 million a year, right?
Okay. Brandon Crawford with the Giants is 15. They're tied, basically. Gene Segura is four, just under 15. Simmons with the Angels is 13. Bogaerts this year is 12. So, you know, right now the highest paid shortstops are 15. And again, that's taking out Machado, if you consider him a third baseman versus a shortstop. But if Machado's not at that shortstop position, the highest paid guys make 15. So he makes 20, which is clearly the highest paid guy at his position. But it's still not one of those ones where you go, oh boy, this is dumb.
No, and I was fearful of that kind of deal because I know what Boris's history is. So I was, again, pleasantly surprised.
Also fascinating, it's a Boris guy.
Yes, absolutely. I told you, I was pleasantly surprised. I went, whoa, I didn't see that coming because I didn't. I thought once the season started that part of the reason you didn't hear any talk about Bogaerts is because there weren't any, and that once the season started, that'd be it, and we'd be talking in November about him, and he'd sign somewhere else. I thought for sure it was going that way. And those shortstops you rattled off, I don't know all the dates, but I don't think any one of those guys has signed in the last few years. Like, the shortstop market was due for a bump because it's happened to a lot of other positions, and again, I don't know Crawford and Segura. But
yeah, like...
Andrew signed a long time ago.
I was going to say, Lindor is coming up.
Yes, and so is Correa.
Okay, so those guys.
So there's some good players in the league that, you know, the shortstop position in general was due for a bump. And I thought Boris is going to try to pump it to 25. And the fact that it ended up where it is, it's a good deal for the Red Sox. Now, the question is, will Bogaerts continue like he played last year? That's still a big question, so let's see, but it's a good deal.
Let's do this again. I know I asked you this a little bit ago. Who's the best shortstop in baseball?
I think Correa is. I think Carlos Correa is the best player.
I say Lindor.
So you know what, though, Murray? I'm not going to fight you on that one. They're 1-2.
Sure.
Rank them.
In fact, I would give you 1-2-3 as all being in the same class.
Rank me the top 5 shortstops in Major League Baseball.
Okay, I go Correa, Lindor, Seager, with Corey Seager with the Dodgers. And then next on the list is Bogaerts or Gregorius, depending on which one.
Last time I asked you said Gregorius.
Yeah. And I'm telling you, if Bogaerts plays like he plays last year, it's Bogaerts. If he plays like the year before, it's Gregorius. So you're telling me 3-year sample?
Pick one. Pick one. You have to pick one. You can't have two. Pick one.
Today, I'd pick Bogaerts. Today.
You sound dejected.
I know. he reluctantly.
Because, again, I think it's close. You know, people here like to dump on Gregorius, who's hurt right now. But the fact is, over the last 3 years, they've basically been a dead heat.
Gregorius is 29. He's a couple of years older.
Yes.
Which is sort of, you know, I think should be a factor, right? 3 years older. All right, so Red Sox open. The Bogaerts extension.
baseball, if you want it, or whatever else on a reentry Monday to you right after this.
This is Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Don't let the weather limit your passion for golf. Go to Winslow's Kitchen Bar and Range, state-of-the-art Top Tracer driving range with shot tracing technology and Power Tee ball automation. Whether you're a golf enthusiast or a weekend warrior, you'll love Winslow's 16 heated bays with full-service food and drink, trivia nights, and live music in the clubhouse. Winslow's open 7 days a week, rain, snow, or shine, at Green Harbor Golf Club, 624 Webster Street in Marshfield. Book your bay at greenharborgolfclub.com/Winslow's. Winslow's, because good times and golf shouldn't have an off-season.
Hi, I'm Jim Burns, sales manager from AAA Work Trucks, your local truck upfitter in Billerica. We all know your truck setup is critical to your success on the job, so choose AAA Work Trucks to upfit your vehicle. We sell and install virtually everything your commercial truck needs, from van shelving to ladder racks, lift gates, toolboxes, power inverters, and much more. Call 866-783-6222, and we'll come up with a solution that works best for you. Visit us at AAAWorkTrucks.com. That's AAA WorkTrucks.com.
At the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
You get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
Sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
But Alex Cora and Dana Labangi were not happy with the pitch selection last night, and particularly the pitch selection on Jay Bruce. Wanted to see more change-ups to the left-handers and a better game plan, although they have been impressed by the way Seattle swung the bats.
Well, God knows, Erod threw 35 changeups last night. He just didn't throw the changeup to Jay Bruce. That one pitch cost him. I mean, I think somebody has to take charge of Erod when he takes the mound. You got to have the guy behind the plate tell him what to do if they want. That's the game plan.
That was the day after the Erod start, and that stood out to you, Mass, huh?
It did, because, again, I heard Eck make the comment yesterday in the second inning that Erod, you know, to me, he needs a catcher. Take charge and let him know what to do. Lead him along. And I went, oh, so this is the message that's coming out now. Like, this, so this is what, and again, I think Cora and Labangi want this out there. Whenever you have a young catcher, typically the big concern is, how's he going to handle the staff? What's he going to do in a pressure situation in terms of pitch selection, et cetera, et cetera? The game plan. Then I saw the comments by Labangi after the game on Saturday night where he said, why didn't you follow the game plan? He says, I don't know. As if to say, go ask them. And I went, you got to be kidding me. The first game? Because I like Swihart. I think Swihart's got a chance. But then I hear X say the same thing the next day during the broadcast. I said, so this is it. They're going to throw it at the feet of the kid. They're going to hang him out to dry. And, you know, he doesn't know what he's doing back there. And so, to me, this is something to keep an eye on. Thankfully, for me, the other pitchers also get their brains beat in, so they just can't point to that one game. Because what about the rest of the time? They sucked all weekend.
Exactly. Okay, so those are opening Red Sox thoughts. What are yours? Again, we'll take your calls on anything. Here's Nick in Blackstone. Hi, Nick.
Hey, guys. So I want to preface with, I'm not by no means making excuses for the pitchers, but when we were talking about Sandy Leon being traded and all that talk earlier, I was really surprised knowing the kind of leader that he is. So when Maz is mentioning, like, what's going on with these guys, I mean, we saw him be that leader. Even in the playoffs, he's not a bat. I mean, we don't have a true hitting catcher. There's maybe six in the league. So when he's blocking those balls and talking to those guys during the game, like, that makes a big difference. Like, Blake Swihart is not going to do that. Like, it just blows my mind that he's not even at least in the dugout with them.
Okay, Maz, why not carry the three? Why not teach Swihart to play left field?
Okay, so they tried that, and he got hurt and destroyed his ankle.
Yeah.
Right? So I just think the value in a guy like Swihart, to me, if you're going to have him, the value comes in the offense of the position. That's where he distinguishes himself from any other people. If he's just a guy that can catch, well, then you trade his ass and you have Sandy Leon here.
Why not call the pitches from the bench if you're so worried about
it? Well, so you could. I mean, there's also that. And so, you know, you don't want to do it on every pitch occasionally. And typically, it's really like training wheels. It's like hand-holding. And he should be at the stage where he should be able to do it. So I'm not telling you he's perfect at it. But to the caller's point, well, what about the games Vasquez caught? Do you think Vasquez sucks too? Because Vasquez caught as many games last year as Leon did, basically. And I don't have the numbers in front of me. That's pretty much what it was. They want Vasquez to be the starter. So what I don't like is the way they reacted to it. That one game it took to start questioning whether the guy can handle pitchers. One effing game. Is that unbelievable?
David Plymouth, what do you got for us?
That Seattle pitcher in the ninth inning, I don't know who he is, but that guy is exhibit A why they need a pitch clock or something, because he took forever.
Oh, my God. And wasn't Eckersley great on him, just riding that
terrific
guy?
He was terrific. But, you know, it was so funny, Mike, because you could hear the Red Sox fans in the crowd screaming, you know, throw the ball, for God's sakes.
Unbelievable.
It was just it was like, and I know why he was doing it. He was trying to throw off, you know, the rhythm and everything. He was trying to get them.
Are you sure? Or was he just?
No, it was clear, Mike. You could see by his body language, he was doing it on purpose. And that's when the umpire's got to come out and say, look, you jackwagon, throw the damn ball.
The guy wasn't close.
That's NX said. I mean, if he thinks that the plan was to throw the Red Sox hitter's timing off, dude, newsflash, you're not going to throw two strikes in 20 minutes.
It was so bad. Oh, it was so bad, Dave. Thanks for the call. Oh, my God. The game yesterday was 3:40. I think they were all in that range. Weren't they all 3 to 3.5 hours?
No, I think pretty much.
I mean,
they were horrendously pitched games. Horrendously pitched.
Right.
Really on both sides. I mean, the Mariners' bullpen's a train wreck. And their defense blows. Like, they swung the bats while Seattle did. Every mistake the Red Sox made, they hit them. So some of that might just be a hot team. But the Red Sox pitched like garbage.
But that reliever is exhibit 1A.
So is it, which game's he talking about?
Last night. Yesterday, I'll just call him Booger. Because anyone who's like sort of unkept and like a little slovenly, I'll call Booger. I don't know who the reliever was, but he came in. I think he walked three guys. He basically walked the bases loaded, could not find the plate, was not close, and took forever in between pitches. And Eck chirping him was great.
Corey Guerin, yeah.
Whatever. Who's that?
Good question.
Eck was all over the guy. It's like, you've got to be kidding me, man. You've got to be kidding me. So I'm just going backwards. Yesterday was 3:39. The game before was 3:10. Game two was 3:20. I'll get you opening day here in a second. Just tough.
Wasn't any picnic either. That one was like 12-4. That one took a while too.
Tough to hang in with some of these. Here's Mike and Lynn on the catching situation. Hi, Michael. Michael.
Yes, sir.
Okay, you're on the air, babe.
How about Evan Rodriguez call his own game? I mean, he knows the situation. He knows the game plan. Why are they blaming the catcher?
Okay, so
part of it.
Is that the wrong guy to give the young catcher to?
Probably, yes. Yeah,
I mean, those other guys are veteran guys.
Yes, so that's a good observation too, Mike. That's like one of those that you look at and say, well, if you're worried about Swihart, why are you putting him with Erod? If Erod needs his hand held, because what, you don't want to piss off the veteran guys? So is that what it is, that you don't want to screw the veteran guys with a young catcher because they all like Leon? They'd rather have Vasquez. Yep. So that's it. Erod doesn't have a say. Could be. And if I were Rec, I mean, that's an entirely plausible theory.
I think you're so right about that's why they do it.
Probably.
Oh, my God, that's so right, though. Go on.
No, because, again, you've got all veteran guys out there.
Yeah.
And so I look at it and I say, well, you know, if the great concern is about the pairing, well, then you put him with a veteran guy that can call his own game or make his own decisions on the fly, shake him off, bring the catcher out. Look, let's get this. You know, here's what I want to do in this situation. Should have all been discussed ahead of time. But it feels like that particular battery on Saturday night didn't have the brain power, at least baseball brain power, to light a 60-watt bulb.
Mike in Taunton, you're up next with Felger and Maz. Hi, Michael.
Yeah, Maz.
Yeah, Mike.
What do you care about Xander Bogaerts' contract? You're a Yankee fan, so it don't matter. Besides, your boyfriend's on the injured list.
Yeah, that didn't take long.
It don't matter, really.
Yeah, it turns out those beautiful biceps, Mike, those gorgeous, tight biceps, a little tight.
No, they are beautiful.
No, perfect. They look great in a magazine.
They're good-looking biceps.
Swinging at pitches, not so much.
No, he's a little loose in terms of discipline in the box. I'll give you that one.
Who'd you rather have, Xander Bogaerts or Didi Gregorius? The last time I asked you said Gregorius.
Bogaerts.
Damn, that pains you and upsets me.
Bogaerts.
Disappoints me. So you've given up on that.
Well, with that contract, and again, ask me in 3 months. Over the last 3 years, it's been a wash. It's been pretty close.
So what I think is the biggest upset is that, What's his face? Boris has put himself, and I'm just looking up Carlos Correa, how much time he's got left, that Boris has put himself in a position to get one up here. Lindor's got two more years after this. So it's, you know, he's got essentially 3 years to go till he's up. I'm just trying to look how much Correa has before he's up, because those guys are going to beat that contract.
Yeah, Correa's, this is his third full year, I think.
Oh, guys, so Correa has...
They're both eligible for arbitration after the year, I know that.
Okay, but Correa has got, you know, he's got a bunch of time left. So Bogart's going to be the highest paid guy here for a couple of years. Maybe that was Boris's rationale.
Maybe.
It's going to take 3 years for him to get... beat out.
Unless you're seeing guys starting to sign younger again, right? Like Bogaerts never got to free agency. And there were other guys, Arenado signed early. He didn't get to free agency. Sale has never been a free agent in his life, which is really unbelievable in this day and age that could happen. So it seems like more guys are willing to take those kinds of deals. Maybe the Indians, maybe the Astros go to those two players now and say, hey, look, there's the market for him. You're not Mike Trout. $25 million. Let's go. We'll do it now. And maybe they sign for 25, but they're better than Bogaerts.
We continue with your thoughts. Red Sox wise, 617-779-0985. Whatever you want on a reentry Monday, I'll give you a Bruins minute right after this.
Don't let the weather limit your passion for golf. Go to Winslow's Kitchen Bar and Range. State-of-the-art Top Tracer driving range with shot tracing technology and Power T ball automation. Whether you're a golf enthusiast or a weekend warrior, you'll love Winslow's 16 heated bays with full-service food and drink, trivia nights, and live music in the clubhouse. Winslow's open 7 days a week, rain, snow, or shine at Green Harbor Golf Club, 624 Webster Street in Marshfield. Book your bay at greenharborgolfclub.com/Winslow's. Winslow's, because good times and golf shouldn't have an off-season.
Hi, I'm Jim Burns, sales manager from AAA Work Trucks, your local truck upfitter in Billerica. We all know your truck setup is critical to your success on the job, so choose AAA Work Trucks to upfit your vehicle. We sell and install virtually everything your commercial truck needs, from van shelving to ladder racks, lift gates, toolboxes, power inverters, and much more. Call 866-783-6222, and we'll come up with a solution that works best for you. Visit us at AAAWorkTrucks.com. That's AAAWorkTrucks.com.
Always have to be ha ha hee hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Bruins will end the regular season series against Detroit, going 1-2-1 as time winds off the clock here at Little Caesars Arena. Anthony Mantha with a hat trick and 5 points. Detroit's power play scores a couple here today, and the Red Wings rally to win it 6-3 over the Bruins here in Detroit.
Okay, Bruins minute here. They dropped two straight over the weekend. Any cause for concern? Murray? Maz? Anyone?
I hate the timing of it because this feels like, well, how it normally feels this time of year when they're getting into the playoffs and it's just like they're playing out the string and you see a lack of effort and bad goaltending. It's a wee bit of a concern. I'm not like freaking out. I'm still all aboard the bees train, but there's a red flag there.
I mean, it feels to me like they're asleep. You know, they got a little bit of a cushion there. What is it, 4 games left, 6 points or something like that? It feels to me like they shut it down. And the game that told me that was not last night, was the one before.
Saturday.
That was a stink bomb of the highest order. Stink bomb. P.U. Boy, did that game smell.
So I think it's a pretty standard pattern here. The last, I don't know, it feels like they've had this where they go on these great runs, February, March, solidify their spot, and then just sort of peter out towards the end. And then they show up the first week for the postseason. Like, oh, there they are. So I have no like overall real team concern. I have a little bit of a lineup issue. I wish Cassidy would stick with Pastrnak with Krejci. Like, he bailed on that too quickly. They had that great night, whenever that was, late last week, where Pastrnak had that hat trick playing with Krejci mostly. And then, you know, halfway through that Florida game on Saturday, he switched it back out. Like, just stick with that. That's a better line. You don't have to keep Johansson up with Marchand and Bergeron, because Johansson is not ready. Like, he's slowly working his way back. He's still knocking off the rust from when he was on. I don't think he looks good at all. So it doesn't have to be Johansson up there. Put Heinen up there. And let Pastrnak stay with Krejci. Like, that's just one sort of aggravation that they just, that default thing, you know, straight up there with Pastrnak up there. And take advantage of Krejci. He's playing great. Played good yesterday. He had a great sequence on the Bruins, I want to say the third goal.
DeBrusk?
It was the that one obviously he sent him in. That was a great assist.
What a pass!
Great little saucer pass. He's got great sauce. One of the best saucer passes in the league still. No, it was the Backus tip where Krejci won the puck behind the net. He battled in the corner, won it in the corner, back to the point. It was really just sort of a simple winning play, but Krejci's winning puck battles. Like, you don't get that. Krejci's having a great year. Give him guys who can play, for crying out loud. So that's one little frustration. But the only thing that would concern me overall is the goaltending. And Rask in particular, because he's the guy. And I'll just defer to Joe Haggerty, because thank God he's not one of these boohoo Tuca crew people. He's not one of these Bruins writers that circles the wagon against or around Rask, you know, for whatever reason. He's just someone who, when Rask plays poorly, he says it, versus the rest of these guys who just feel like protecting him for whatever reason. But Haggerty wrote on Saturday on NBC Sports Boston, it looks like late season Tuca Rask has finally shown up for the Bruins, and that's not a good development at all. After playing remarkably consistent for most of the season and getting plenty of rest along the way thanks to Yaroslav Halak, Rask is beginning to show signs of trouble. After not playing particularly well in a 5-4 loss in Tampa last week, Rask coughed up a killer, soft, shorthanded goal in the second period Saturday versus Florida and allowed 3 goals on 14 shots in the first couple of periods while being outplayed by Roberto Luongo. Haggerty says pull back even further, and Rask is now 2-3 with an .881 save percentage in his last 5 games and is far from the top of his game with the postseason less than a couple weeks away. Now, this is a concern because I think this has been a trend. Like the team, Rask sort of picks it up in the middle. Rask has gotten off his slow starts the last several and sort of peters out at the end the last several, but in the middle is great. And that's been consistent as well. And so here we are again. And so do I read Rask as an individual thing or just part of the general team that's sort of walking backwards into the postseason? I don't know. Certainly Cassidy is not going to be as patient. And after the game against Florida, and I don't know if you know the goal that he's talking about, the Bruins are down 2-1 to Florida, second period. They're on the power play, and there's a partial break. The guy's kind of on a breakaway, but not really. I can't remember who was back, but someone was back, sort of shielding him off from making a full breakaway attempt. And so it was a shot from the high slot that was not at the best angle. And it went off the post, but you got to have that. You just got to have that save. And Rask didn't. So Cassidy, again, who has held Rask accountable, was asked about it after the game. He says, "I don't want to go too far back. We addressed it in Tampa. We gave up some high-end chances. We needed one more save. Were they bad goals in Tampa? Absolutely not. They were all good goals. Tonight, we didn't generate enough anyway, so it may not have mattered. But again, the third goal, we needed to have a save to stay in the game." I mean, it's true. He had to have that save. Had to have that save. "We battled back from 2-0, 2-1. You could tell we didn't have our A game. Our execution was off, so I don't want to stick around your question. Yeah, we needed one more save, but this was a team loss, a total team loss against Florida." It's just, so that's just, you know, keep an eye on it. That's not the first time we've seen Rask peter out here down the stretch.
So again, like, the interesting thing that I find about this is that how much more can they cut his games during the season?
Can't.
I mean, this is as low as it's ever going to be.
Can't do it.
So it's got to be a mental thing. It's not a physical thing.
Of course.
Right? He just loses focus.
And sort of a workload thing.
I mean, because last year in the last 3 games, his save percentage was .884 to close out the season last year. And then he sucked in the first round.
Thank you. Thank you, Maz. So this is not the first. He does this. This is what he does. It's only 43 starts. And that's really nice. He's going to end up with 45 freaking starts.
I mean, that's as low as you can get.
That's tremendous.
As a number one goalie, how much lower do you want it?
So, I mean, I'm just telling you, this is not me ripping Rask, because I don't think he's been as bad as Cassidy has portrayed in some points. I think Cassidy's purposely on Rask because I think maybe the whole organization is on Rask, as they should be. You need more out of him this year. If you're going to pass Tampa, he's got to be good. So they're on him. I don't think he's been that bad. I'm not ripping him. I'm just telling you, I think the coach is more willing, and they have a guy now that they're more willing to go to than they've been in the past. And just keep an eye on it. That if they really see signs of this, of Rask's sort of thing here. And look, last night doesn't help this topic because Halak gave up 5-2. Now, I don't really, last night all 5 were bang, bang, upper corner.
Like, oh my gosh.
They were one after the other.
Those first two by Mantha were ridiculous.
And they're cross-ice passes, and it's not like he's square up on a shooter. And
well, the defense has lost focus, too. I mean, like, I have my concerns, obviously, about Rask, but the defense from the Tampa game on has been foolish. Like, they can't get it out of their own end.
Who's been better this season?
I mean, I think it's a coin flip.
I'd say it's pretty much dead even.
Both had swoons.
I mean, you want to say Rask, but, I mean, we're now, I mean, the sample's in. It's, you know, we're 78 games or whatever. Save percentage. Yaroslav Halak ranks 10th in the league, 920. Rask ranks 21st, 914, which is the one I look at. Then goals against is secondary to me, but still, goals against, Halak ranks 7th in the NHL, 240. Rask ranks 9th, 243. So Halak has outperformed him statistically. The only thing Rask has him is in wins, but because he's gotten more starts.
It's close, though.
I mean,
Halak went bad there for a while, too.
He did. He certainly did. I think they've been pretty even.
Yeah, I think it's pretty much a coin flip.
They've both been good. Like, all season, they've both been good. I'm sitting here to tell you that Rask sucks. But there's this, again, little fade here. What was the sample where he was 884?
His final three games last year.
Okay, so in those last five, he's 881. So, I mean, we've just seen that before. Keep an eye on that. Because the coach is, the team is. There's your Bruins minute. Back to your calls on this, on the Red Sox. And has the excuse generator already been fired up with the Boston Red Sox? We'll discuss right after this.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati.
Don't let the weather limit your passion for golf. Go to Winslow's Kitchen Bar and Range, state-of-the-art Top Tracer driving range with shot tracing technology and Power T ball automation. Whether you're a golf enthusiast or a weekend warrior, you'll love Winslow's 16 heated bays with full-service food and drink, trivia nights, and live music in the clubhouse. Winslow's open 7 days a week, rain, snow, or shine, at Green Harbor Golf Club, 624 Webster Street in Marshfield. Book your bay at greenharborgolfclub.com/Winslow's. Winslow's, because good times and golf shouldn't have an off-season.
Hi, I'm Jim Burns, sales manager from AAA Work Trucks, your local truck upfitter in Billerica. We all know your truck setup is critical to your success on the job, so choose AAA Work Trucks to upfit your vehicle. We sell and install virtually everything your commercial truck needs, from van shelving to ladder racks, lift gates, toolboxes, power inverters, and much more. Call 866-783-6222 and we'll come up with a solution that works best for you. Visit us at AAAWorkTrucks.com. That's AAAWorkTrucks.com.
Felger and Mass.
I love it.
You were right, Mass.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bore my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
Let's be honest. I'm not going to use this as an excuse, but, I mean, yesterday I felt it, you know, like the whole traveling and getting up early and all that. And, you know, talking to Michael, the guy that, you know, the sports science guy that we have, he mentioned, like, from today on, we should have a few days that the energy should be up. But it's tough. I mean, we're not making excuses. You know, we still have to play good baseball. But, you know, Arizona and come here, I know it helped us out, but it hasn't been easy.
Ah, do you hear that? Ah, Jimmy, what was the date on that? When did he say that? Yesterday?
31st. So it was post-game yesterday.
Yeah. Fourth game. Fourth of 162.
I thought Adrian Gonzalez was gone from this team.
That's exactly what it is. An Adrian Gonzalez comment.
Fourth of 162. Just play it again, Jimmy.
Let's be honest. I'm not going to use this as an excuse, but, I mean, yesterday I felt it, you know, like the whole traveling and getting up early and all that. And, you know, talking to Michael, the guy that, you know, the sports science guy.
So stop. Well, you're talking to the sports science guy?
Yeah, the sleep study guy.
What do you mean get up early? What time was the game?
You got me. They're on the West Coast.
1 o'clock.
Day game.
So 10?
Day game after the night game.
Oy. Fourth game of the year?
Well, it's a tough turnaround, man.
Holy moly, Maz. Go ahead, your thoughts.
No, I've done it. It's not easy. It's a hard life. It's a hard life. Four games in. So, look, again, one of the things I've liked about Cora since he's been here is he hasn't made excuses. There hasn't been a lot of garbage. Guy makes a bad running mistake. Well, look, he thought this, but, you know, we can't have that, not for where we want to get to. Okay, that's one of the things I've liked about him. This comment, I was surprised when I heard it. I said, you've got to be kidding me. If you don't want it to be used as an excuse, don't say it.
Right.
Oh, my God.
Don't say it.
I enjoy how blunt and transparent he's been for the most part. This, keep to yourself.
Really?
A good look.
Don't say it.
So, I don't want to totally beat up on him, but that one is nauseating, dude. He did have a bunch of comments that were classic Cora, which is, you know, like number six, just assessing the whole series here, James.
We're going to play well. We actually were lucky we won one. you know, we came back. I mean, great that we tried to come back yesterday. Great that we tried to come back today. But that can happen. It's going to be hard. You know, that's a hard.
Lucky to win one game.
Yeah, and he's right. Good and so these come again. I didn't get to the trip one until the end. Right, that's the last one I heard. I went, holy crap, that's unbelievable that he would say that.
But again, blunt core, number five.
Yeah, these are on the mark, these comments.
Not good baseball. I mean, we didn't get anything from the starters, and that's hard to do. The only positive out of the whole weekend is the bullpen. They did an outstanding job, but I think, although offensively we scored runs, we left a lot of people out there. You know, defensively, we didn't play well. You know, we have to move on.
Okay, so, but he's right there, too. Even though they scored a bunch of runs, they also squandered a bunch of opportunities.
No question.
So, good for him there. Just spare me the number four, Jimmy. Again, spare me this, dude. Number four, if you would.
The sports science. Let's be honest. I'm not going to use this as an excuse, but, I mean, yesterday I felt it. You know, like the whole traveling and getting up early and all that and... You know, talking to Michael, the guy that, you know, the sports science guy that we have, he mentioned, like, from today on, we should have a few days that the energy should be up. But it's tough. I mean, we're not making excuses. You know, we still have to play good baseball. But, you know, Arizona and come here.
But Arizona.
It helped us out, but it hasn't been easy.
It was the first game of the first series of the year.
Well, I know. It's been a grind, though.
He's talking like they're playing in Japan.
I know. Well, that's the thing is the Mariners did go to Japan.
Right.
The Mariners went to Japan.
Fresh as a daisy.
And they came back and kicked your ass is what they did. How do you think they've been traveling? What do you think? They're all just because they're home and sleeping in their own beds, which aren't even their own beds, as we know. Like, you know, the whole thing, like I look at it and I say, don't say that. Don't say that.
That's the good and bad of core. The stuff that I'll put in the middle, I don't know yet, is his, boy, he is defensive and he is cocky. And he is asked about the starting pitching that just got poleaxed over the weekend and the slow start. And was that cooked in? Was it baked in because of how they handle these guys in spring training? Says, who's ever doubting us? Check what happened last year. Like, what?
I didn't really think about last year. You saw what happened. It was the same plan. You know, whoever is doubting us, what we did last year, I mean, this year, check what happened last year.
Okay,
we did the
buddy.
Same thing.
All right. Like, that didn't take long.
No, it didn't.
Part of me takes offense to that because I did doubt them last year. For the most part, up until like game five of the ALCS.
Yeah, so he's saying to you, oh, yeah, go ahead, question me again.
Okay. All right.
Because we'll make you suck it again.
Check what happened last year.
Yeah, just,
right. We did the same thing.
Yeah, just check what happened last year, buddy.
So, and again, like with Sale, I don't mind the approach with Sale. I'll live with it with Sale because we have a history there. But does everyone have to be exactly the same?
Well, we'll see. I mean, we'll see if that works. I mean, it's generally worked for them, I think. It has.
Sure.
It has.
Look, again, it's a marathon. It's not a sprint.
To me,
I get that.
To me, the story is his attitude. And, you know, that defensive, cocky sort of ability to really engage, desire to engage, I don't know, rabbit ears, that whole thing. Let's see how that plays out if 1-3 turns into 30-33. You know what I mean? Like that this, if this,
of course,
if this carries on and the pressure ramps up, and I just want to see that as a neutral observer and a talk show host. I'm just sort of rooting for that because I think, and it might totally work. Like, I'm not telling you Cora has the wrong approach for his team. It might be the right approach. But I do appreciate four games in. Check last year.
Mike, it took him three games to get on the backup catcher.
God.
Three games it took. Last year, they lost the opener. Remember, they collapsed in the opener. And then they ended up 17-2, I think it was. They haven't been two games. They weren't two games under 500 all year. This year, it took them 4 days. 4 days, 1-3.
And he's already saying, how'd it work out last year?
Totally. Like, again, this is part of, like, you could see this coming. Because last year was, again, relatively speaking, was a cakewalk.
Okay, to your phones. As promised, Jericho in New Hampshire on the Sox. Go, Jericho.
Hi. So I think that Xander took less because of what happened this offseason with Harper and Machado. You know, he could have gotten 25, but he got 20 because of all that happened, you know. But does his contract affect signing Mookie further down the line? I'll hang up and listen.
Okay, so now let's get to that part of it.
So I think yes. I mean, I think when you add it, now look, you're going to have some money coming off the book. Porcello's is going to come off the books. Sandoval's going to come off the books. But I do think that there comes a, like, can you sign everybody? Can you sign Sale, Betts, Bogarts, and J.D. Martinez?
You didn't mention Porcello.
Right. Well, so I
did.
Did
you?
I did. But
I'm sorry.
Right.
Whoops.
No, don't worry about it. So the like you look at all that and you say just realistically, it's hard to imagine you can sign everyone, right? Realistically, now, maybe they can. They have the money. They have the money. But I just have to believe that they're lining themselves up to re-sign J.D. Martinez and they're going to trade Betts.
So why?
Because I think Betts isn't going to play ball with them. They have to make a decision on Martinez before Betts. And they're not going to get caught with their pants down on Betts. And my guess is that every indication from them is that he doesn't want to be here. And so I think it's also a way that you can rebuild your farm system a little bit and try to get the next wave behind.
You think they'll really do that, trade him for prospects?
I do. I think that's the only way you get value.
Okay, I understand that. The PR hit? Because when the trade's made, it's going to be traded for nothing. Because you're going to get back a bunch of kids no one knows anything about.
Okay, so they might be borderline major leaguers. You know what I mean? They might be high prospects. Maybe you get two. Or even one. You get one, like, legit prospect.
You're trading an MVP because you don't want to pay him?
No, because he doesn't want to be
here. I know, but I'm telling you how it's played.
How would we spun?
You know, what they would be fearful of. They'd be fearful of the PR fallout, which is you have all the money in the world and you're not going to sign him because of money? I don't know, Maz. I mean, look, I think the smart play is to trade him. Absolutely, that's a smart play. Them actually pulling the trigger? I'm not sure about that.
You can't get nothing for that guy.
Adam in Rhode Island on the Bees. Hi, Adam.
So I was wondering, what are your top three reasons why the Bruins can win against the Maple Leafs in the first round?
Why I think they can beat Toronto? Because I think they've got much better on D. I think they're much more experienced.
Yeah.
And, I just think they're better defensively. How's that?
Injuries on Tampa Bay.
I'm sorry. Go ahead and ask that second thing again.
Yeah, my bad. So Tampa's down three of their top six D now as of, like, the beginning of March, and now with Hedman down with a concussion. So what are your thoughts on if we have a chance of beating them if Hedman's out?
Okay, I'm not rooting for anyone to get hurt. That's a loser mentality, but that would help if Hedman's not the same. I mean, the thing with Tampa is just so damn deep. Hedman, Strahlman, McDonough, just down the line. Who's the Russian defenseman that they got?
Sergachev,
like, they're just so deep. So they're still, if Hedman's half the guy, they're still better than you. But let's worry about that when we get there. Why not? You want to focus on Toronto? You can. You should beat Toronto. You're more experienced. You're better on D. And that third thing I said is, you know, your best line is also a good defensive line, which I would not say that about Tavares, Mitch Marner, all those guys. So you're a more complete team. Notice I didn't say goaltending. I should say goaltending, Toronto, you versus Frederik Andersen, but it's not the way it played out last year. It's not the way it's played out the last couple times you've played Toronto. Both goalies have sucked the last two Toronto series, whether it's you, Reimer, Frederik Andersen, the goaltending's been a wash.
I think Anderson's a hair suckier than Rask, though.
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
Oh, no, he's a much more than a hair. Rask is better than Frederik Andersen, period, story over. Have they played that way?
No.
Has that shown itself on the ice?
No.
No. Okay. That's why I say a hair. I know where you're coming from, but like,
Rask is much better than Halak. It shouldn't even be a discussion. But Rask somehow gets into the spot and too frequently, in my mind, plays down. So how can you put it? I don't put that on the list.
No, I don't think you can. You can't give Rask the benefit of the doubt there.
You should beat Toronto. You got to work. You got to try. You can't just show up.
That series still scares me. Toronto's forward group's awesome.
It should scare you, but you should win that series. Don't tell me you're going to have this kind of year again.
I'm scared.
Just to lose in the first round? We pick up your phones right after Murray's 90-second update, no commercial.
Don't let the weather limit your passion for golf. Go to Winslow's Kitchen Bar and Range. State-of-the-art Top Tracer driving range with shot tracing technology and Power T ball automation. Whether you're a golf enthusiast or a weekend warrior, you'll love Winslow's 16 heated bays with full-service food and drink, trivia nights, and live music in the clubhouse. Winslow's open 7 days a week, rain, snow, or shine at Green Harbor Golf Club, 624 Webster Street in Marshfield. Book your bay at greenharborgolfclub.com/Winslow's. Winslow's, because good times and golf shouldn't have an off season.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? Leaks are no match for DIY duct tape.
And a wrench. And a towel. More duct tape. A hammer. This random tube I found in the basement. Another bucket. More tape. A little more tape.
Perfect.
Maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
Roto-Rooter.
Hi, I'm Jim Burns, sales manager from AAA Work Trucks, your local truck upfitter in Billerica. We all know your truck setup is critical to your success on the job, so choose AAA Work Trucks to upfit your vehicle. We sell and install virtually everything your commercial truck needs, from van shelving to ladder racks, lift gates, toolboxes, power inverters, and much more. Call 866-783-6222, and we'll come up with a solution that works best for you. Visit us at AAAWorkTrucks.com. That's AAAWorkTrucks.com.